Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 100 of Season 7 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action film Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to finish off this week and to pass the century mark of episodes for this season is Mark Hoffmeyer of the Deep Blue Sea Pod and Movies, Films, and Flicks. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Hey, listen, I finally got off the boat in Norway. I went to Oslo, and I typed in, where can I get the best eggs in Oslo? And it sent me to Cafe Laundromat, where they have the best Benedict eggs in Oslo.
I thought they were going to send you back to the to the ship. They say, well, if you want it, you got to go back to the first one for that.
No, they love me there now. I'm catching a flight later going home. So I figured flying out of Oslo, might as well get some good eggs since we talked about it yesterday. I put some paprika on it. Not makes a fan. Sense. Not a fan. Did not like it. Needed salt.
So you're going to put the salt and pepper on it.
Yep. You know what? I went to Iceland and I tried a lot of their salted things and it's too salty. So just letting you let everyone know that.
You're saying Norway is a very salty area.
Yeah, very salty. But yeah,
the people or the food?
Oh, no, people are great. I loved it out there. But, I tried, like, a lot of salted cod just to when, you know, when you're there, you eat it. But, yeah, just a little too salty. I had the best crack. What's that dessert where you got to crack the top of it? And it's, like, not creme brulee? Yeah, creme brulee. That was one of the best things I've ever had in my life. Oh, wow. And also, I just want everyone to know that I'm going to go to an egg-shaped floating restaurant in Norway to eat. Just letting everyone know. It looks like an egg, and I'm going to go eat there.
Well, enjoy.
It's in a fjord. Enjoy. Did you know that?
No, not familiar.
by a Danish chef. So I hope it's good. I have to get a boat to get there. But I become kind of famous around here, so like I found a hookup.
All right.
I'm going to go eat. Yeah.
Enjoy. Bon appetit, as they say. So,
more eggs.
That's right. Minute 100 begins with John continuing to drip blood all over the place and ends with Targo showing off his wrestling moves.
He has a good kick.
Yes, he does. He does. He doesn't, no longer reminds me of that snobby lawyer in Planes and Automobiles, you know.
Wait, the lawyer, who's that? I don't remember
at the beginning when Neil is trying to get a cab, and then and then Del, you know, starts putting his stuff in a cab, and there's a lawyer who's about to get into a cab, into that same cab. So Neil says, "Well, you know, it is the holiday season. You know, maybe you can use your good heart and let me have your taxi." And he ended up forcing him to pay $75.
All right, I blocked that out. I blocked that out of my memory. I don't remember that scene.
I believe it was during the first week, even.
Oh wow!
Because
I had
so anyone interested can go back to season two of this series to watch us talk about that.
I always talk about the later episodes.
Well, of course. Yeah. You know, you were TSA Mark back then.
What a great scene! I love it.
I've never seen anyone get picked up by their testicles before.
Like, do you just still know it, or you block it out?
The parts of it I can still do by heart, yes. Well, as you just said, as you just saw, I wasn't looking at anything on that one. You know, I did not cheat. All right, so yesterday we left things off with Zeus getting caught on the bridge and getting shot on the bridge. Then we ended things with a fraction of like 2 seconds of John dripping blood all over the place as he's walking around the cargo area of this ship. And as he's walking, he then looks over to his right and a forklift just flies by him, which is really cool to watch the way that it looks like a video game, the way that there are always things going on in the background, that type of thing.
I love a good forklift.
You know. Yeah. Do you know any other names for forklifts?
Let's see. Well, that's not a scissor lift. It can't be that. So a forklift. No, what are some other names for forklifts?
So it's also known as an industrial truck,
no.
A lift truck, a jitney, a high-low, a fork truck, a fork hoist, and a forklift truck. And it was developed in the early part of the 20th century with the idea of being able to lift up bulky and heavy items and move them from place to place. It's mostly used in manufacturing and warehouses. And
I love like a forklift. You need a special license.
Do you know how many forklifts are still sold these days
a year? Every country needs them.
Okay. Right, and it's worldwide.
Sold worldwide. Something forklifts, 250,000.
944,000.
Wow, I was way off there.
It is a $30 billion industry a year.
Jeez Louise. That's a lot of dough. That's a lot of forks.
That's right. Lifts.
How many forks can you buy with that? How many forks can you buy with that much money? What's the average price of a forklift?
That I don't know, but I mean, we can do the math.
Okay, so
if you really wanted to.
I can do that. Forklift price.
Okay, I'll give you the numbers. $30.4 billion with 944,405 machines.
Wow, that's incredible. I mean, you need them. Everywhere needs them.
That's right.
We're in the wrong industry. Let's retire. Let's get into forklifts, me and you.
I'll let other people.
Okay. Well, the option's open if you ever need it.
I appreciate that. I do.
He kills our nice guy here. I hate that he kills him. I like our nice henchman.
we're not up to that yet.
Okay.
Let's get there. But we're doing the math first. So you have 30.4 billion, all right? And you have to divide that by 944,405. And that, according to this, it's $32,000 for each forklift.
Wow.
All right, now, forklift accidents, okay? How many injuries approximately are there a year by forklifts in America?
Poof. Gosh. So 10.
Well, actually, let's make this a little easier because the number of injuries is a very large range. So how many people on average are killed in forklift accidents a year?
All right, let me do some math here. Okay, so that's way too many injuries. So how many people are killed? So let's say two a day, 730.
There are only 87 deaths per year on average.
Ah.
But the number of injuries, see, Mark, you're just not doing as well today as you did yesterday. The number of injuries range anywhere between 35,000 to 62,000. Approximately only 1% of forklift accidents result in a death in the end, but 42% of all of those fatal forklift accidents, it's because the forklift tipped over and crushed somebody.
That sounds about right. That's why you need a special license to have that. A lot of people don't have those licenses and a lot of injuries happen.
Right. And this is an interesting bit of data. It says that 30% of all forklift accidents happen in warehouses. So my question is where the hell are those 70 other percent taking place? Because you mostly use forklifts in a warehouse.
Yeah, that's odd. I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah.
I wish I had an answer.
Now, I know. And how many individual, what percentage of forklifts that are in the market are involved in some kind of accident every year?
What percentage of them?
Yeah.
I don't know. This is getting too much. Let's go back to that. 15%. All right, there we go.
Okay, you're very close, 11%. Okay, but that's still amazing. There are, according to this stat here, there's close to 900,000 forklifts in America. and 11% of all of those forklifts are involved in some sort of accident that injures somebody.
They're dangerous.
Every year.
There's you lift something high. I mean, how many injuries happen in Costco every day? A lot.
Yeah, well, only 1% in will result in a fatality. Yeah. So basically, John continues looking around, trying to figure out what's going on here. And then he hears something. And then as he's turning a corner, he sees a guy, the goon that you mentioned before, who lifts up his hand and screams in German. He says, "Nicht something." I can't remember what the phrase is. And John goes, "What was that?" And then we have Targo come out from behind him and say,
"Poor guy." He said, I liked him too.
"Don't shoot." Yeah. Well, because, we saw over the course of this week how he was someone who was willing to risk his professional standing and his life by making sure that his boss understands that he's being swindled. A lot of credit for his integrity, but that didn't help him in the end.
No, it definitely didn't help him.
No, because John didn't care and just shot him.
Yeah. John, he just kills people.
Well, the guy's a threat.
Yeah, I like that guy. Is he a threat?
Everyone's a threat.
Okay.
John is, come on. John knows that he's on the first one, and the only person on the first one that is not a threat is Mark Hoffmeyer, who's keeping out of sight. So it goes going back to the video game analogy. You know, the idea is that you're supposed to just kill everybody.
Yeah.
So you got to give him a little bit of credit for that, I guess. John was fast on his feet.
And with his fingers and hands.
That's right. That's right. And then Targo, who's sitting on the crate, then looks down at John and he, kicks him in the face and then jumps down. So we know that we're going to be having a rehash of the fight with Carl in the first movie. And you can even see some resemblances here to the fight with Grant on the wing of the airplane.
Oh yeah.
The sheer haughtiness, the smugness on his face. As if, this is gonna be fun and easy.
I mean, it's a big guy. Might as well take your anger out on someone. That's right.
And why not John McClane? He's the perfect person. See, there, you could have had a story about that yesterday. The revenge story of John McClane.
That was a good kick to the face, though.
Who knows? Yes, it was. It was. So then the two of them start to fight, and then the scene changes, and we're back in the school. And we get to see Charlie, who's working on his bombs, trying to figure something out here. And then we hear over the radio, "Okay, Charlie, we're going to have to go with the evacuation." Now, the question, I like the way that they effectively do this because, Charlie doesn't really have anything to say here. We just see him, working the fridge in order to try to open up the, try and disarm the bomb, right? But all the dialogue that we hear is through his headphones. So, they want us to get so much information that they layered it. They want us to tell us how difficult this is for Charlie to be dealing with this on the first hand. And then on the other hand, you see that there are, we hear Cobb with him giving his orders about the fact that they can't wait any longer and stuff like that. So
It's good L cut.
I like
you
it.
Have the guy talking and then you cut the guy working. Yeah. I mean, I think it's just better than saying the name and then not showing them.
Correct.
So I think it works. It's just efficient. It's very efficient and the scene works well. I dig it.
Yeah. I like it. I like the way they do it. And, as this is happening, then we're, as you said, it gives us a cut to Cobb and everyone else, And Cobb's out there. He raises up his hand and is starting to give orders. And he goes, "We're gonna go. All right, you heard the man. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go." And all those cops that we talked about last week, who are standing on the side, are pressed into action. You know, we want you to go and save these kids as much as possible. And they go, "Move, move, move. We're gonna go. Let's go, men." So. You know, I like the way that they present this for the whole thing.
Yeah, no, it's done well.
And then, yeah. And then Cobb is ready to hand over the information to Lambert, and you hear him say, "On my mark, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go." And I mean, it's great because, you know, we see all of these cops running towards the building. And at the same time, we see people running out of the building. But did you notice that in second 38, okay, you see that there are cops and kids that have already come out of the school. So if that's the case, then why a second later do they show us Lambert, who crosses himself before they're getting to leave? So, like, how are there kids outside if Lambert is leading everybody? Or do they have them at separate entrances?
I mean, I would assume there's more than one. They probably don't want them all in one location.
Right.
So I'm thinking maybe they sent him. He's in a different place entirely. That's my guess.
Okay. I mean,
it just looks cool that he gets his moment.
That's right.
Like, you need your character actors to have their moment.
Right. That's true. And I mean, the way that they do this is interesting also, because, you know, they do want to establish that Lambert is in charge of all these people. You know, they do it nicely. And then he goes, "Let's go, 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 go. Let's do it." And he turns to them and goes, "Okay, gang, let's go." And did you notice what he says as they start running out?
What?
He says, "Go, go, go, hip hop, come on, everybody, let's go." So, like, why would he... Like, I can't even understand the context of that, you know, because, again, you want them to run, not run in place. You know, hip hop is dancing. That's running in place.
No, like hip hop, jump, 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 like that kind of stuff. Like hip hop. Like, what is the term hip hop? Where does hip hop term come from?
You think I don't know that?
Well, or you already did it. Oh, okay, good, good, good. Oh,
okay. Well, I mean, first of all, the term is mostly used in music. It's it was originally known as disco rap, and then it became known as rap, and now it's known as hip hop. You know, that started in the 70s. So the origin of the term is it's from a satirical play from 1671 called The Rehearsal, which was written by the second Duke of Buckingham, George Villiers. So there's a character that says, "Hey, it is not I gad, huh, for to go off hip-hop. Hip-hop upon this occasion is 1,000 times better than any conclusion in the world I gad." So they claim that this was the very first time that the phrase was used, and it basically means it's an adverb of reduplication of a hop with alternating of lighter and heavier vowels, you know, the way that because it's drip drop tip top.
There we go,
hip hop.
Hey, kind of thing. So I mean, that's right, hip hop. Yeah. Hip hop, I like that. I yeah. learned something every day with you.
Isn't that the goal? I'm surprised you didn't know that. I would have looked it up.
Yeah, that's true. No, you're on it. You're a minute by minute expert here. This is good.
I'm among them. You and Jay have done great jobs with these things too.
Oh, we just do chapters, minute by
no,
minute.
No, but you've been on shows where you've done together minute by minute.
Yeah, that's true. These are a lot of work, Movie Rob. I admire you.
But that's the fun of it.
True. Good point.
And you know, then they show us like this mass exodus of these kids running out of the school. And I mean, I gotta say they do a great job here of having these cops do things in an orderly fashion by directing them and stuff like that.
No, I mean, that's what you want to do. Like, the last thing you want are kids running out of there not knowing what's going on. So, I mean, it's quicker just to organize it, like what they're doing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure it's more effective. The question is whether they had time and they thought about doing it. You know, and then we hear people scream, run, 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 keep moving. Someone then screams, we're going to win, we're going to win. Maybe because they think that there's supposed to be a race.
They probably don't want to tell them exactly what's going on. Hey, guys, just run.
That's right. That's right. And then he goes, keep moving to the left, to your right.
Smart.
And, you know, as these kids are just running out of here, you know, the scene once again changes. And we get a shot of John flying as Targo tosses him around, you know, against the container.
Yeah. I never liked that scene.
So... Well, I don't like it because it just doesn't seem very realistic that he's, I know, movie logic, but still, the idea that he lifts him off his feet and, like, you're probably more of a wrestling fan than I am, because I'm not a wrestling fan. Is that called, like,
that's no wrestling move because it's physically impossible. Like, just picking up a guy's leg, dragging him, and then getting enough momentum. Well, how much do you think he weighs? 170? So, and this guy, you know, this guy's big, but he's probably in his 50s.
Something like that.
Being able to just wing 180-pound, 70-pound dude? Nah. Because no one's ever done that before, though, in Die Hard movies, have they?
No, not that I'm aware of. Where they will lift someone then. Like that? Yeah. No.
Yeah, so, like, this dude's super powerful then. He's... You know what I hate in movies? When big characters throw another character. Like, because then whenever they throw them, it just gives them time to reset. Like, if you're a vampire, werewolf, just stomp on a person's head. Don't throw them 30 feet. That's all I'm saying.
But they do it for the visual.
Yeah. No, I know I exist. Like, it's action movie rules. But, this scene where he swings them, that's... I don't know. It has nothing to do with the movie. It could just had him, like, punching him on the ground. But, I mean, I guess it looks good.
Right. So, I mean, Nick Wyman was 45 when this movie came out.
Oh, geez Louise.
So.
But still.
So let's even say they made this 6 months earlier. So he's at that point 44. 44.
I mean, he can still be super powerful, but that's, I don't, you know, I'm all for the laws of everything being broken in action movies, but this one was a little odd. It's I don't know. I don't like that scene. I don't like it.
Yeah. Okay. I can understand that. Yeah. Again, visually it's fun to look at, but that's about it.
It's in the trailer too, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, it's good.
There's a chance.
Yeah, it's a good trailer. It's a good trailer shot.
So, John then is slammed against the container, and that's the way this minute ends. Mm.
Good time.
So, yeah. Do you have anything else you want to say about this movie?
No, this is a booming clip here, but I dig it. That was fun. I liked it.
All right. I'm glad you did too. All right. So once again, there's nothing to talk about in the script in this episode, but what we do have is our Friday segment, which is called the Name That Movie.
Oh, okay.
So the premise behind this segment is the fact that you know, as you know, Mark, what was the original name of this movie?
Simon Says.
That's correct. So I made a list of 155 movies that had different titles at other stages in the production of making that movie. Okay, some of them could be fake movie titles. I'll already tell you that your list doesn't have any fake titles on them. All five of them are real titles. But sometimes there are during production, they would say, oh, we're doing this movie called Blue Harvest or something like that, which everyone knows is code name. Nowadays, we know that it's code name for Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, when I was on Spider-Man and Guardians, we had like Level Up and other movies that we called it to keep people off the scent. It's fun.
Right. Okay, exactly. It's a good thing I didn't pick any Marvel movies for you, though. So that, then you might have been able to guess them easier. Right, so the idea is, so I'm going to give you the original title of the movie, the year it came out, and what you need to do is basically tell me what the original, or what the final cut version of the title was.
Got it.
You know, relatively simple. Okay. So we will start with the first one. I'll start off with an easy one for you. From 1995, Toys in the Hood.
Toys in the Hood.
I forgot to mention you have lifelines. You can ask for names of actors. You can ask for a name for the director.
Is it live action?
No.
Oh, then Toy Story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When did Small Soldiers come out? I was wondering if that was
98.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, next one. From 1978, The Babysitter Murders.
Halloween.
Very good. Had you ever heard that before?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or was it just an educated guess?
No, I knew Babysitter Murders.
Okay, from 2009. Okay, Oh No, She Didn't.
2009. Oh No, She Didn't. Okay, how many lifelines do I have? One?
As many as you need.
Actress.
There are two listed here.
Oh,
I'm gonna go with Allie Larder.
Allie Larder. 2009. Oh No, She Didn't. With Allie Larder.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the other lead?
Beyonce.
Oh, Obsessed.
Yes.
Oh, see, I knew that. You know what? My first thought when you said Allie Larder was Obsessed, but I thought that maybe came out in the tens.
Yeah. Came out in 2009.
Okay.
All right. Two more for you. 2009, once again. Project 880.
2009, Project 880. Is it a found footage film?
No.
Who's the lead actor?
I have a feeling you'll probably give it away.
Who's
but
two supporting actors?
Giovanni Ribisi and Joel David Moore.
Oh, Avatar.
Yeah.
Hey.
I still haven't figured out why it was called Project 880, but you know, it's a catchy title.
Shot for 880 days.
you never know. I mean, James Cameron could have done something like that.
Last one. I hope I don't need a lifeline. I like not using lifelines.
Yeah, what it's telling me here about Project 880, I just don't believe it. When I'm looking it up, it's just giving me different differences in the original script that was called Project 880, but it doesn't tell me why it was called Project 880.
Lame.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, and for the final one, from 1992, Love Hurts.
From 1992, Love Hurts. Okay. Oh, man. Did Paul Verhoeven direct it?
Yes, he did.
Basic Instinct.
Mark, that is amazing. That is definitely amazing. What brought you to that?
I mean, 92, Love Hurts. Like, so my first immediate thought went to Fatal Attraction, but that was, I think, 90?
87.
So then I... 87. So yeah, that was my first thought. I was like, that's not 92. So I was like, what other erotic thrillers came out around that time? And then that led me to Basic Instinct and Verhoeven.
That was great. All right. So I guess I didn't challenge you enough. I should have, I should have gone deeper on the list.
Yeah, that was good. That was fun. I still have some brainwaves left, so it's good.
There you go. That works. All right. So, Mark, would you like to one final time this season tell everyone where they can find Mark Hoffmeyer?
Yeah, it's Movies, Films, and Flicks. I'll be back from Norway and Deep Blue Sea, the podcast. Check us out.
All right. And while you're doing that, you can go review and subscribe on any podcast you might be using to listen to this show. Finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. And if you want to shoot me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. Thank you very much to Mark.
Hey.
I want to wish everyone a great weekend. I will be back on Monday with a new guest. But until then, yippee-ki-yay!
Sayonara.
When he comes marching home again, hoorah, hoorah. We'll give him a hearty welcome then, hoorah, hoorah. The men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies, they will all turn out, and we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.